It's good to be here. It's good to be inside, especially on a day like today. Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles and talk a little bit. God, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us and being good to us. Thank you, God, that you have inspired the writing of this book and that you have said that it is living and powerful. It's active. And that you speak to us when we read. So God, I pray that as we read this morning that you would speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So flip over to Matthew 7. And as we've gone through this chapter, what we've seen is just a series of really hard-hitting teaching. There hasn't been a particular one that has been like, oh, that's kind of like a breather. That's kind of a break. They've been very short, concise, precise, and rather strong. They've all come with a good deal of application. And we're at the end of them, so no more of the hard teachings from Matthew 7 today. This is a breather week, if you will, hopefully. But at the end of chapter 7, Matthew puts like, I guess it would be an equivalent of a footnote. It's like it should be in parentheses. It's like a little commentary, you know. You watch the game, and then the guy at the end says, you know, a little bit of commentary at the end. And it's a note about how Jesus taught and the way his teaching was received. So let's read verse 28 and 29. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Interestingly enough, their scribes, their religious teachers, had authority, but they didn't teach as people who had authority, obviously, and Jesus did, and the crowds were astonished at how he taught. And so you say, well, what was different about the way Jesus taught? And I think Matthew puts it in a little package for us. I mean, Jesus taught, and he taught the, and this is not explicitly in this text, but it's everywhere else where Jesus' teaching is explained. He taught the gospel, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and he did it with authority. He taught, he was always teaching, he was always talking. That was the, he healed people and he did other things, but his primary activity was teaching, was explaining to people, well, how to enter into the kingdom of God. He was proclaiming the news that there was a new king and a new kingdom, and that you could have peace with God, and how you could be part of that kingdom, and how to live as a citizen of that kingdom. He was explaining the kingdom of God. He was proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. He taught, and he did it. And this is the part the verse seems to these two verses seem to focus on. He did it with authority. He confronted the religious system of his day with courage. He spoke with confidence. He spoke the truth in love. And he did it, it seems, without any regard to the consequences. At the end of his life, he was eventually murdered because of what he said. I read yet today or yesterday, I don't know, it kind of runs together, recently, in the last little bit, I read when Jesus was on trial before the high priest, and they were asking him all these questions, and they couldn't find a way to, you know, justify killing him. They were going to kill him one way or the other, but that had justified. And so they're trying to figure, and then they finally said, "Are you the Christ?" And then Jesus answered that. He answered affirmatively, and they said, "Okay, we can kill you now." They killed him because of what he said, because of what he said. He spoke with authority. So we look at that and we say, okay, well, that's interesting. So we have a footnote that we kind of, you know, expounded on a little bit. Now it's a big footnote, but what does that have to do with us? I mean, that was Jesus. What does that have to do with you and I? Is there any connection between Jesus taught as one who had authority and our lives? Well, I would say there is, because disciples are supposed to imitate, supposed to imitate their teacher. Disciples, followers, are supposed to be like their Lord. And when we're called to follow Jesus, we're called, just like his original followers, he says, come follow me. We're called to follow him. When we repent and are baptized, we're making the decision not that we don't want to go to hell and want to go to heaven. That's kind of an easy decision. We're making a decision that we want to follow Jesus, that we're leaving our nets and we're following him, as it were. So we're followers of Jesus. And what do followers do? We've talked about this on many occasions because it's throughout the Gospels. They follow the person who they are following. They observe him and they listen to him and they become like him. That's the goal of being a follower, is to become like the one that you're following. And so as Jesus' followers, in one place it says we're his ambassadors. We speak on his behalf. We talk for him in this world. And so if we're supposed to be like Jesus, and this is the way Jesus taught, then we should also speak the message that Jesus spoke in the way Jesus spoke his message. And that sometimes can be a problem for us because, teaching isn't something that we necessarily always like to do. It's something that we tend to leave to the professionals, you know, the people who they're the teachers in church. They're the ones who are supposed to, you know, open the Bible and tell us what to think. Not teaching is, it's when you say, yeah, I don't remember the last time that I opened the Bible and read and explained it to my children or my spouse. It's been a while since I've sat down with someone and studied with someone who wasn't a Christian. We tend to leave teaching to other people who are good at it. And when we do teach, a lot of times we don't necessarily teach with courage as much as we teach with a little bit of fear, the kind of fear that leads us to speak in religious generalities, you know, the religious words that you can say, and people who are churchy say, oh, yes, that's right. And then they think about it at the end and say, but what does that really mean? And I don't know. But it sounded good. It's the kind of teaching with fear that leads us to teach a lot of theory without practical application. I know more knowledge, but what are the practical steps to apply that? Well, that takes courage. It's teaching to give information as opposed to expecting life change to come out of the teaching. It's fear when we teach that leads us to not necessarily speak the truth in love. We're scared of the consequences and how what people will say and how they'll look at us at the end and if they'll really be happy with us when we say that that's a sin, because you know we know the story of John the Baptist. He told Herod that he shouldn't have the person that he was calling his wife as his wife, and what happened to him. Look that story up. It didn't end well for John, and we know that that's how it ends when we speak the truth in love sometimes. So many times we read this about Jesus. He spoke with authority. He taught with authority. That's good for him, but our problem many times is we don't teach, and when we do teach, we don't teach with courage and conviction and authority like Jesus did. You couldn't necessarily say the same thing about us all the time, or at least me. I'll be more specific about me. When Jesus finished these teachings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You can't always say that about us, but you could say it about Jesus. And if we're Christ followers, then I think the big idea for us, the connection for our lives from this, is we should be people who you could say that about. We should be people who, when others look at us, they should be able to say, that person teaches. That person teaches the gospel. That person teaches the gospel with authority. We should teach the words and the teachings of Jesus with the authority that Jesus had if we are his followers. And I would say that's the connection in this text for us. The same thing that was said about Jesus should be able to be said about us. So let's read it again and then pick it apart a little bit. When Jesus finished these sayings, you just read this and say, what if this were true about me? What if this could be said about me? When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So the first part of that is, if we're going to be people who teach the gospel the way with the authority that Jesus taught, we have to teach. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we have to do as well. We have to speak. See, I would love for my example, that's a bad example. My example's not good enough, but we would love for our example, the good way we live our lives, to be good enough for other people to just look at and say, I want to be like that person. And I don't even need that person to tell me what I can obviously see how they live. I'm just going to become like them. And then that person magically somehow ends up in the baptistry without us even saying a single word. That's a magical example of life. You know, the whole preach often and use words when necessary, which is just not the way it is. Because if Jesus, the Son of God, the only person who lived a perfect life, the only person who maybe could have made the argument, my example is enough, if he dedicated himself to speaking and teaching, who are we to say my example is enough? That's not what we're called to do. We're called to teach. We're called to speak. We're called to speak like Jesus taught it. Who do we teach? What we teach? Whoever is around us. I put that in bold. I got to the end. I made a list. It's like, well, my spouse and my children and my family and my friends and the people that I'm on, you know, teams and work and people I know. And then finally I got to the end. I was just like, whoever's around me, that's who we're called to teach. Isn't that who Jesus taught? He taught whoever was around him. Sometimes there was a lot of people around him. Sometimes there was two or three people around him. One person, Nicodemus in the middle of the night. Whoever. You teach whoever's around us. We're supposed to teach. When do we teach? Are there like teaching moments? I said, well, of course. You have a pulpit and you have a microphone and you have a half an hour. This is a teaching moment. This is the time when teaching is supposed to happen. Yes, this is times when we should teach. Also, if you know you're in a small group or in a class or you have the responsibility for teaching a group, that's when you should teach. But we should also teach one-on-one. We should also be sitting down with people and opening up the Bible or a study and walking people through following Jesus more and coming to know him and then following him after they come to know him. We should teach by opening the Bible with the other people in our household, with our family and spouse and children. We should teach the people around us. We should teach when we have the opportunity, when someone opens up and we have the moment where we can give a meaningful life counsel and bring the gospel to bear on that person's life. We should teach whenever the opportunity presents itself. How do we teach? We teach by creating friendships with people, because the gospel flows through friendships. When you are creating friendships with people around you, you're opening up potential doors where you are going to be able to teach them. We teach people by praying for them. We teach people by praying for them so that God will open up doors in the conversation that we can talk to them. Because I don't have anybody I can teach. We'll pray, ask God, say, God, would you please help me? Would you bring someone to my life who I could teach? Would you make the person that I live with be open to me teaching? Whatever the case is, would you open up their hearts so that I could teach them? We teach by opening up the Bible and reading it and explaining it and teaching it. And what do we teach? Well, and again, this isn't explicit in this verse, but Jesus taught the gospel. That's what he taught. The gospel of the kingdom of God. That was his primary teaching. He went around proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, that there was a new king and a new kingdom, and that you could have peace with God, and that you could live as a citizen of that kingdom. He didn't preach moralism. He didn't preach be a good person. And everything will be good. The better you are, the better life will be. There's some truth in that, but that's not what Jesus preached. He preached the kingdom of God. He preached you returning to your rightful place under the authority of the King of the universe. He preached the kingdom of God, not just good advice. He preached something that was much more difficult than good advice. What Jesus preached has its roots in the story of, well, the story of God and the story of the Bible. And this is how I like to keep it in my mind. It all starts with God, the King of the universe, who then made us in his image to reflect his glory. But then we rebelled against him, and each one of us has wanted to take control of our own lives. And by doing so, we rebelled against the King of the universe. And because of that, we deserve his wrath. And he's promised, you will receive my wrath. For all of eternity, I will pour it out on you. But in Christ, there's salvation, because Christ lived a perfect life. He never rebelled against the Father. And when we enter into Christ, we receive his perfection over our imperfection. And he died an innocent death on the cross. And when he did that, he paid the price. He absorbed the wrath of the Father's. He absorbed the Father's wrath in our place. And then when he rose from the dead in power, He gave us the promise that if we are in Him, we will also rise from the dead and live with Him for eternity. And then He calls, that message ends with a call to give ourselves to follow Him, to decide to repent of our rebellion and accept His lordship, His sovereignty, and dedicate ourselves to imitating Him and being like Him, and then to seal that decision by being immersed in water, by being baptized. That's the gospel, and then as we hear that and live that, and we give ourselves to following Him, that's the message that we teach, and we're supposed to teach that message with authority, like Jesus did. We're supposed to teach it with courage and with confidence. And you say, well, why do we have authority? I get that I'm a Christ follower and I'm Christ's ambassador, but why do we have authority? Well, think of some of the reasons. We have authority to teach the words of Jesus, to teach the gospel of His kingdom, the good news of His kingdom. And we have authority to do that because, and we're supposed to teach it with courage and confidence, because Jesus has sent us. What did Jesus say? You will be my witnesses. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Jesus has sent us, and then He's called us to imitate Him, to be like Him. And so if He taught with authority, we should teach with authority. That's why we teach with authority. We teach with authority because when we open up this book and we teach this, it's not our words. These are the words of God. These are God's words that we're teaching. What I say is not living and active. You'll likely forget my words when this is over, and that's okay, but this is living and powerful, and when we teach this, that gives us authority as we teach it. We speak with authority because after leaving, Jesus sent His Spirit, and one of the primary works of the Spirit is to fill His followers and give us authority and confidence and courage as we teach. I was reading Acts 4, and this was this morning. This didn't run together. Acts 4, I think it was Acts 4. Anyway, beginning of Acts, you can find it. Peter and I think John. Wow, my memory is really going. Peter and somebody else were released. They'd been questioned. They were released. They went and told the apostles or the rest of the followers, and then they prayed. And at the end of praying, it says the place was shaken. They were filled with the Spirit. And then it says they went out and spoke about Jesus with courage. See, that's one of the primary works of the Spirit is people like you and I who are fearful to speak about Jesus. What do? When we're filled with the Spirit gives us courage to talk about Jesus to other people. That's why we speak with authority. We speak with authority because when we're talking about the gospel, it's just not good advice. People's eternities are in the balance. We're talking about people either going to hell for all eternity or being adopted as children of God's family. That should give us courage because that's a big deal. We have courage because we call people to repentance through the authority of God's Word. We call people to repent, to turn to God, to believe the gospel, to make that initial decision to repent and be baptized, to give themselves to Jesus. And then after that, we call each other to repentance, to leave our sin. That's why we're supposed to live as family in a body. We're supposed to live as family because we're supposed to call each other to live, to live in repentance and leave our sin and believe the gospel more and more. We're supposed to call each other to give ourselves to the kingdom to help other people know Jesus. That's why we have authority, because we're calling each other to something. And maybe one of the biggest reasons why we can teach with authority when we talk and when we read the Bible is because we don't have to change people. That takes a huge burden off of us. It gives us confidence. Because when I read this and we talk about it, I read this to my children and we talk about this, I have the confidence that God is the one who changes people's hearts. And if they are going to grow up to love and know Jesus, or when I'm reading the Bible with someone who's not a Christian and we're talking about this, I don't have to change him. That's what God does. I speak, and God works in the other person's heart. So what does it look like when we teach this with authority, like Jesus did? What does that look like for us in our time, in our day? Listen, speaking with authority isn't speaking without tact. It's not speaking without a filter. It's saying, hey, just say it, tell it like it is. That's not speaking with authority. Speaking with authority is not speaking in moments when it's not appropriate. speaking with authority isn't just because I have this message, I can be obnoxious. That's not speaking with authority, but speaking with authority is speaking. It's not remaining silent when we should speak. Speaking with authority is having the courage, like Jesus did, to confront the religious system of our day that creeps into our lives and makes us believe that following Jesus somehow is something about like a Sunday thing, and then basically living normal, good lives the rest of the week. No, we're called to follow Jesus. Speaking with authority is when we teach the Bible, when we teach, even we're reading the Bible with our spouse in the evening, there's supposed to be practical application that comes out of that. When we speak and teach with authority, we don't just read the Bible and that's it, but we look for the practical application. We have the courage to say those, even if it means that we have to change. That's one of the reasons I don't like to find practical applications of the Bible, because it's not just about what I give y'all. It's if I'm going to find it and see it and think it and then say it, I'm going to have to like say, I need to do that. I don't like that. I would rather just teach information. But no, teaching with authority is putting practical application steps and saying, if that's true, then this is what it means that we should do to put it in practice. Speaking with authority means speaking the truth clearly, not running around in circles. You know, when you're talking with someone, maybe like with another Christian, and they're telling you about something in their life, and you're following the story, and you're kind of talking, and there comes a point in the conversation where they're telling you something, and you know that they're on the brink of a bad decision, and a decision that will mark their life spiritually and take them down a wrong path. And have you ever been in that kind of conversation? And you're just like, oh, and we're at that moment, it's like, why didn't I change the subject earlier and talk about the Huskers? As painful as that would be so much less painful than this. Because you know you're at that moment. And it's so tempting in that moment to say, you know, just to talk in generalities and, well, you know, you should, and it would be nice, and wouldn't it be... But you know, there's something in you, like the Holy Spirit, who's like put a verse of the Bible in your mind. You know what you should say, and it's a very clear thing, because the Bible's very clear about whatever it is you're talking about. But you know that's so direct. Now, speaking with authority is in those moments speaking clearly. And it's when you're studying with someone who's not a Christian, who's been coming to church, and they've been getting their life together, as it were, and then they sit across the table from you, and you read the Bible, and they say, does this mean I'm going to hell? Am I not a Christian? And you're like, oh, I don't want to say it like that. I don't want to make you feel bad. You're thinking all this, but it's speaking the truth and not going beating around the bush. But it's speaking the truth in love, because sometimes you go to the other extreme. And have you ever spoken the truth, but you've done it just in a kind of, it feels like you're punching the person in the face. There's no love involved in it. It's just being, or maybe someone's done that to you. They've spoken the truth, but they've been mean about it. And what is that? Well, that's not authority. Actually, when I speak the truth and I'm kind of a jerk about it, that's more of a defense mechanism. It's because I don't feel confidence. It's because I don't feel authority. And I'm covering my own insecurity by being a bit of a jerk when I'm speaking the truth. Speaking with authority is not fighting or contending or pushing or forcing or manipulating people. See, there's something that comes with knowing this is what the Word says. What I'm saying, I think, I'm pretty sure, is God's Word. There's a quiet peace and confidence that comes with that when we have authority based on God's Word, and it leads us to not be people who have to be pushy. I don't have to push you to do what I think the Bible says you should do. Why? Well, because it's God who's going to make you change one way or the other. I believe that God is the one who changes people's hearts, because that's what God says He does. I don't change anyone's heart, neither do you. So it's having confidence in what we're saying, and then however the person receives it, that's not my responsibility. Teaching with authority is not pushing people to see everything the way we see it or to accept it. Teaching with authority, one more, is teaching without being worried about the consequences. It's teaching and saying, whatever happens, I may lose a friendship, I may be attacked. If this study goes a certain way and this person ends up not becoming a Christian, they might end up not liking me because they now know that I think that they're not in a relationship with God. And well, so be it. Other people may not be happy with me. It's teaching what God says in a loving way, but without being worried about the relational consequences. And if we teach the gospel with authority the way Jesus did, look at how it ends. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. We'll be different. We'll be different. We won't be like everyone else. If we teach the way Jesus taught with the authority that he had, we won't be like everyone else. The content of our teaching will be different. That we won't teach full of worldly good, self-help things. We won't teach a prosperity in this life gospel. Our style of teaching will likely be different. We'll have the quiet authority that will lead people. And you know what? That's okay. Because Jesus was different than the other teachers of his time. It's okay for us to be different. If we teach the way Jesus taught, we'll guide people to the kingdom the way Jesus did. So what should we do? We should teach. We should teach the gospel. We should teach it with authority. So the question that I would put before you is, what do you need to do to be more like Jesus? To be more like the one who taught the gospel with authority? We can all grow in that. How we grow in that is different for everyone. And it starts with entering into the gospel. It's really hard to teach the gospel with authority when you haven't obeyed the gospel, when you haven't decided to follow Jesus yourself, when you haven't given yourself to him. So if you hear this and you say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, I want to be like him, I want to help other people follow Jesus, I haven't repented and been baptized and given myself to Jesus, then the way that you start becoming like Jesus is by making the initial step and saying, I'm going to repent and be baptized and give myself to Jesus, and I will give myself to imitating him. And in this community, when you're ready to do that, just tell someone you can make that decision. And if you've already made that decision, then you're called to teach the gospel with authority. So let me ask you, if you're a Christian, what part of that, teaching the gospel with authority like Jesus did, and what part of that do you need to grow? Is it teaching more? Maybe you say, I don't really don't teach anyone. So who's around you? Who can you open the Bible up with and teach? Or who can you pray for and say, God, please give me an opportunity to teach that person? Maybe for you it's not just the teaching, it's growing and teaching, but the gospel. So it's having the courage, finding the courage, asking the God through His Spirit to give you the courage to ask someone to study, whether it's a peace with God or some other study or reading the Gospel of John or whatever it is. Maybe for you, you do a lot of teaching, but as you think about it, you do more moralistic teaching and less gospel teaching. And maybe for you, growing in being like Jesus in this area is teaching with courage, speaking the truth in love. And maybe there's someone around that you've been talking to them and you've talked around, but you need to speak the truth to that person. What do you need to do to be more like Jesus, to teach the truth about the gospel with authority? Why don't we stand as we think about that? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. We come to you, Jesus, and we thank you because you are good. Not only do you love us, but you have given us an example that we should imitate so that other people can know you. I pray, God, that we would be a community of people who would speak your truth of your gospel regularly, who would teach our family and our children and our spouse, who would be people who would always be talking about you, that your word would fill us and flow through us. God, that we would be people who would teach and proclaim the gospel, and that we would do it with authority, with confidence, with courage, and that you would use that to bring people into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.